You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Jill Powell of Remnant K9 360. Thanks so much, and enjoy the show. Remnant K9 360. So tell us a little bit about how did you get into training dogs, and what do you offer at RemnantK9360.com?
Well, really, when about 2 years ago, I guess maybe a little bit longer than that, we started going to prepper shows or prepper camps and those kind of things, to promote my husband's other business, but also to learn new skills and, you know, to network with people in the prepper community and the prepper movement. And at that time, I had already started training dogs, as well, but I was doing dog training for just fun and competition and sports related. So like agility and dock diving and those kind of things. So when we, at Prepper Camp in Saluda, North Carolina, about 2 years ago, I noticed that a lot of people that were attending this event had brought their dogs with them. And so being a prepper and a dog lover, I came home and I was like, hey, you know, do you know if anybody's really doing anything like intentional on training your household pet or your dog to be a part of your preparedness lifestyle? And so we started doing some research, and we actually did a lot of prayer about this as well, because we kind of toyed with this whole idea for about 18 months. And then at the local facility where I train for agility and the other types of dog stuff that I do, they hired an ex-military canine trainer. And so we started talking with him, and he really bought into the idea of, oh, that's a really cool idea. So we started exploring it with him, and then we just moved forward. We were like, how can we offer this to as many people as possible? Because not only did I want to learn and train the skills myself with our dogs, we have three dogs in our home, but how can we help others within this community have access to these skills as well? So we started putting the videos together just this past April, and filmed a lot of stuff over the summer, learned a lot about filming and that kind of stuff. And we're, so by the time Prepper Camp came around again, we were ready to kind of launch this new endeavor. And we're, you know, again, trying to just reach as many preparedness-minded people that we can to let them know that we offer this service, and just be really intentional about having your canine be a part of your preparations as part of the team. You, just like you prepare by having storable food and water and first aid, you know, materials. And then you also learn skills like gardening or maybe animal husbandry, or, you know, maybe one of your kids learns first aid skills, you know, all these different types of skills. Why not intentionally train your canine to have some tools, extra skills and commands, kind of in your toolbox is what I like to say, so that they become an asset in these high stress times instead of a liability.
And pets, they're part of the family for so many people. So when disaster strikes, our furry friends, they're right there with us, right?
Exactly. Right. And I mean, that's another reason that we really thought it was a great idea just because so many people have pets, have canines. I think like 46%, it may be even a little bit higher, of American families have a canine or a dog.
And having a well-behaved dog could make or break a survival situation, couldn't it? Because, I mean, when we talk about Teotihuacan scenarios, sound and light discipline, that's always a common subject. So a dog that's barking when he shouldn't, that could really put your family in jeopardy, couldn't it?
Right, right. So I was just actually going to use that as an example. If you have a dog that barks maybe at its shadow, which we have a dog that does that, she's very vocal. But in a situation where you're trying to conceal your location and maybe that band of people are just carrying on through and you don't want to have to engage with them, but your dog all of a sudden is barking, that could then entice that group to say, hey, let's go over there and see what's going on, or maybe they have some supplies that we need. So there is a way that you can train your dog on a quiet command. So in that situation, if you do not want your dog to alert, you would be able then to use that command in that situation and then turn that potentially compromising situation into one where you keep your family and your dog and yourself safe so that that band of people can then, you know, leave the scene. And then on the flip side of that, sometimes, yes, you're wanting your dog to alert and tell you that danger is coming. But it also provides you time if that dog is standing strong against those aggressors or intruders to either diffuse the situation. They may decide, oh, we don't want to mess with these people, let's go. Or it gives you a chance to get away. And I think a lot of times too, people that are pro-gun people, they think, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, shoot these people in that situation. That will forever change someone's life if they have to take another human life, in my opinion. So if you're able to defuse a situation and not have to take a person's life, then you've just given yourself other options by having that properly trained canine, you know, kind of in your corner, so that you do have other options in those situations. You know, sometimes, yes, you may have to use your gun right away, but it opens up other opportunities to not have to do that.
And you can use your gun if you know they're coming. So if you've got a dog that lets you know that that danger is coming, that's a big bonus, because your gun doesn't do you any good if you don't see the threat coming at you.
Exactly. So yeah, because I know a lot of preppers like, don't ever have a dog. Don't ever have dogs because they'll give you away. Which I agree. You know, there's situations on both sides, so you just need to train for those different scenarios. Be creative on scenarios. We even really recommend that in the training, because you're going to start in very low, distracting environments, doing these commands, working your way through the packages if you choose to go through all three packages, or maybe you just want to do obedience and scent detection. But you always start in a low, distracting environment, and then you're going to work up into higher and higher distracting environments, because the dogs don't generalize. So they have to know that your sit command means sit, whether you're in your living room or sit and you're in the middle of a dog park. So to put your canine in a situation where they haven't been exposed to these different types of environments or scenarios, it really kind of doesn't do them. It's really not fair to them, because they really need to know that the commands that you're training them mean the same thing, regardless of what's going on around them.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. It's common knowledge that most burglars won't bother with a home that's got a dog that's, you know, if they will alert to somebody's presence being there. So a lot of times that'll send the burglar on to the next house, just knowing that there's a dog there, right?
Right, exactly. Very much so. So especially if we have three dogs, so we've never had any problems with anybody breaking in. So
sure.
We have lots of alert systems in our house.
We had to bug out for Hurricane Irma, and lots of the people that were in the hotel where we stayed, they'd brought their dogs. And while that's not necessarily a Teotihuacan event, owners with well-behaved dogs had a much better experience than those with dogs gone wild.
Right. I would recommend at least doing some type of obedience training with your dog, whether that's at a local training facility or online, because a well-mannered dog is, to me, just part of dog ownership. It's part of your responsibility. Because it makes life easier for not only the dog, but also the owner, and then those that come in contact with the dog as well. So to me, obedience is really, really important. And then when you come to a survival situation, our trainer who does our obedience for us, our 360 boot camp, she feels that it's imperative that the dog knows how to stay by your side, either in a sit or a down position, that they have a very strong recall or come command so that they're going to come to you, and then that they've learned how to stay focused and engaged on you, which we cover in that obedience package, so that in, again, these high-stress situations, that dog is going to be responsive to you, and you're not like trying to run after them because they're running away or they're not staying with you. And they're just, having a time of it. And then I would also add again, that quiet command, just because I think I add that because I have a dog that does like to bark at her own shadow. And I realize that that could be potentially not a good thing in some of these survival situations.
What breeds of dogs respond best to your training courses?
Well, obedience, like I just said, I think any and every dog needs to have some type of obedience training. So there's really no breed that is excluded from being able to be well-mannered. With scent detection, any breed really that's going to be willing to work for you. Our scent detection trainer has trained Chihuahuas to be great scent dogs. So, size doesn't really matter either, and smaller dogs can get into a lot, smaller spaces compared to the larger breed. Now with patrol, we do have to recommend that the dog be over 45 pounds for obvious reasons, just so they present themselves in an intimidating manner, and then come from the working or herding group of dogs, just because those dogs tend to have a more high prey drive, which you're going to need in that patrol work. And if you're wanting to know more about the working and herding group of dogs, you can check out our frequently asked questions tab or link on our website, Remnant Canine 360. And we have links there that take you to the American Kennel Club's list of those types groups of dogs, the working and herding groups of dogs, and you have lots of choices to choose from.
And they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Does age play a role in how well a dog responds to the program?
Well, puppies soak up everything. And once you get a puppy home, even at 6 to 8 weeks, you can start training them on basic commands. So it's obviously never too young for a puppy to learn once they hit that like 6 to 8 week age. Even in patrol, when you're, if you choose to do that and you get a puppy at 6 to 8 weeks, you can even start working bite and drive with those puppies as well. And then for formal training for scent detection, we recommend about 6 months, 6 to 8 months of age. And then with patrol, that formal training doesn't start till a little bit later, till 15 or 18 months. And then dogs for scent and patrol, usually they're able to do that work well for you till they're about 8 or 9 years old. Just like us, as we get older, our bodies wear out. Things don't work quite as well. We move a little bit slower. So as the dogs get older, they're, you know, maybe not able to smell as well, hear as well. But we also recommend that you provide your pet with regular, you know, vet care. So you can also, you know, talk with your vet depending on the health and status of your dog. But so if you buy a puppy, obviously you have a few more years, you know, to get that type of work out of them. So our dogs now are between 2 and 3 years old. So we still have, you know, 5 to 6 years left where we can get them to work for us.
What about prepping for your animals? Is that something people overlook?
Yes, they do. And in fact, when we started this whole process with this business, I realized my own family had failed to prepare for them. So we took it upon ourselves to really start doing the research, because if you're asking, not only are pets great companions and obviously provide comfort and are a part of our family, and then on top of that, you're asking them to do a specific job for you, you need to provide for them. That's the responsible thing to do. So I found a great article on American Preppers Network. It was written in 2003 by a Stephanie Daly, and she really does a really good job on explaining how to store dog food or just pet food in general for long-term storage. So she goes into great detail about if you're choosing to do dry dog food, how you store that, which she recommends you leave in the original package, because once you open that dog food bag, that oxidation starts happening, and that will start making that dry kibble go bad, and it will probably only last about 6 months. So she recommends whatever you buy, you leave it in the original package, and then if you need to store it in something else, then you can put that unclosed packaging directly into that metal bin or plastic bin or, you know, whatever else you decide to store it in. And then she went into detail as well about storing the canned pet food. And that's really an inexpensive way to store food. You can tend to store that wet canned food in smaller spaces compared to the dry kibble. And that can last anywhere from 2 to 5 years on the shelf. And some people even claim that the nutritional value will last up to 10 years. And then she also in the article goes into making your own pet food and canning it, and as well as storing freeze-dried pet food as well. So great article. I really recommend that people check that out and, you know, start making those preparations for your pet as well.
And you talked a little bit about scent detection. Can you tell us how that might be useful in a survival situation?
Well, for us personally, and kind of what our curriculum is geared towards online, is we have Halo. That's our German Shepherd that we own. We have imprinted her on explosives. So like gunpowder, ammonium nitrate, those types of compounds. Because you notice, and that I failed to mention this, but one thing that really concerns me these days too is all the active shooter things that we see in the news as well. And the way people have access to make these IEDs. So in a survival situation, say you're maybe still able to use your vehicle and you've decided you're not going to shelter in any longer, but you're going to go to your bug out location. But once you arrive, you're not really sure if somebody hasn't tampered with your property. Mm. So Halo will then be employed where she and I, her first, will clear the property to make sure that no one has set any of these IEDs or any compromising compounds or materials on our property. So we would be the ones to clear that property before anyone even got out of the vehicle.
Very good. What are all the available courses from Remnant Canine 360?
We have a specific obedience, which we not only offer basic commands that you probably see at your local facilities, such as sit, down, stay, the come command, but we also offer some advanced commands that set you up for success for either scent or patrol. So commands such as release, go out, teaching your dog how to go left and go right on command. So some more advanced skills in that package. Then, like I said before, we have the scent detection and the patrol package.
And how long are the training sessions?
Well, we recommend 3 times a week, 15 to 20 minutes each session. So basically, you're looking at about 3 hours a week to see results. Now, the whole package itself for specific obedience takes about 12 weeks to get through. With scent detection, it's going to take about 4 months to get through that package. And then with patrol, 4 to 6 months, depending on the drive of your dog. But I do want to emphasize, once you get through those training packages, that you don't want to just put it on the shelf. You know, just like if we learn first aid skills, you're going to want to practice your first aid skills or whatever skill that you've chosen, to become proficient in. So even once you get through those packages, you're going to want to make sure you still spend time with your dog, you still run drills, and just kind of keep those skills, you know, refined and not dusty.
And is a dog going to respond better to the patrol sessions if they've already had a basic obedience?
Oh, yes. I think, to me, the basic obedience piece is essential. I don't think you're going to be very successful in any type of dog training that you're wanting to do if you don't have that well-mannered basic foundation.
And you have an introductory lesson available for free at Remnant Canine 360. Is that correct?
Yes. And that free introductory lesson really sets the groundwork for the rest of the packages. And it really encourages you to spend time with your dog, build a relationship with them, really figure out what makes them want to work for you. So a lot of dogs are food driven. So you're going to want to find those foods that really make them go, oh my gosh, what do you want me to do next? You know, mm-hmm. Or some dogs are very toy driven. So you have to spend time figuring out what toys really get them excited so that they'll work for you as well. So, and all of our training is based on positive reinforcement. So it really goes kind of into our methodology as well. And then some of like the training lingo, there's different ways that you train a dog to do things, whether it's through luring them, shaping, or capturing behaviors, pay at source. So it kind of just goes through the vocabulary as well, so that you're well prepared to jump into those packages if you choose to, pursue the training.
Jill, I think it's a fantastic course that you're offering there, and I hope folks will take advantage of it. you can really, really take your animals and make them part of the team, and they're going to feel better about it, and you're going to feel better about it. And whether it's a hurricane evacuation or a complete breakdown society, everybody's going to be more prepared. So thanks so much for making time for us today. Thanks for making these offerings available. And tell us one more time, where do folks go to find the courses?
Okay, well, and thank you, Mark, for having me as a guest. I really enjoyed my time. And we are on the web. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And all of those are Remnant Canine 360. Make sure you spell out canine, C-A-N-I-N-E. So Remnant Canine 360. You can find us again on the web, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. You can also call me directly if you'd like at 210-526-0992. Or you can send me an email at Jill@remnantcanine360.com, and just, you know, make sure you spell out that canine word when you do that.
Jill, thanks again for making time for us.
Thank you.
The Days of Elijah, Book 4, The Seventh Vial, by bestselling author Mark Goodwin, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. The ultimate battle, which will decide the fate of heaven and earth, has finally come. Everett and Courtney Carroll have fared better than most through the past 7 years of the Great Tribulation. But the eve of Armageddon refuses to let them live out the last hours of this present age without conflict, trouble, and persistent peril. The Bible has prophesied of the seven vials of God's wrath, the final judgments which will utterly destroy what's left of a decimated planet. These calamities will bring a plague of festering boils upon the followers of the Antichrist. Rivers and seas will turn to blood, and a global earthquake will raise the cities of the earth to the ground. All of this in the midst of the war to end all wars. It won't be the first time they've been trapped between a rock and a hard place, but it might be the last. Don't miss the final chapter of this end times sensation. Get your copy from Amazon.com today.